Welcome to our continuing study on the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book that answers the question, where do we come from? Well, not only does it answer the question, where do we come from, but where are we going? And what is the purpose in the world today as we see nation rising against nation and great conflict in the Middle East? Well, the answer is very clear to us as it unfolds for us in the book of Genesis. It revolves around that great man of faith, Abraham, and his seed. His two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And Ishmael, the son of the flesh, ever mocking, ever envious of Isaac, the son of the Spirit. Well, in Isaac, God said to Abraham, all his promises would be fulfilled. Well, we saw in our last episode how God indeed provided a wonderful bride for Isaac in the person of Rebekah. And I want to say this, how important it is indeed to have the right wife, one with the same calling, the same vision, and one who loves you. Certainly, Rebekah loved Isaac, and Isaac loved Rebekah. But as we go on, we're told a few other things, and these are important things, because we are told that Abraham, who had now buried Sarah, his wife, takes another wife, Keturah. And we need to pause a moment concerning this fact, because Abraham indeed illustrates many truths. And he actually had three wives. Hagar, the Egyptian, the wife of the flesh, who represents Israel under the law. Sarah, his wife of the Spirit, if I could say that, represents the church of Jesus Christ. And then Keturah, his third wife, from whom he also had six sons, she represents Israel in the millennial reign of Christ. And those facts are very important to understand the unfolding purposes of God for our world. Now, we're going to come back to the thought of Isaac and Rebekah. And here we have Isaac interceding for Rebekah that she might conceive. She incidentally, and it's very interesting here, is one of the six barren women in the Word of God. And every one of them produced a man of great significance. Sarah produced Isaac. Rebekah is going to produce Jacob, whose name is going to be changed to Israel. Well, as we go on, we find that God hearkens to Isaac, Rebekah conceives. And then as she is pregnant and, you know, waiting for the birth of a child, she feels such a struggle within her womb. And she asks the Lord, you know, what is it? And the Lord said, two nations are in thy womb. And they are struggling and fighting one against another. And the elder shall serve the younger. Well, the twins were born. Their names were Esau and Jacob. And they are of great importance to us because their seed impacts the history of the world and even to our time. Esau was a cunning hunter. He loved the fields. He loved venison, as did his father Isaac. And Jacob was more of a pious man, a kind man, and he dwelt, as it were, in tents. He was a homebody, if I could say so. Well, the point now is this, that these two twins, will indeed forever fight one another. You see, Esau should have had the birthright. In fact, the birthright was his because he was the oldest. But he comes in one day from the fields, exhausted. There is Jacob, having made a wonderful pot of soup, or pottage, shall I say. And Esau said, "Give some of that soup to me." Jacob was, however, of a devious nature. And he said, "Certainly, but give me your birthright." You see, Jacob was a pious man. Jacob was a spiritual man. Jacob wanted the things of God. Esau, whose right they were, treated them so lightly. Esau, we are also told, was a fornicator, that his morality was very susceptible. And so he just looked at that mess of pottage. He said, "I'm so exhausted, on the point of death," which is a terrible exaggeration. He said, "Oh yes, you can have my birthright." And so he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And how many people are like that? God is offering eternal life, and they prefer the things of this life, as did Esau. Well, the story now continues and highlights Isaac, the father. Because there are certain things that God wants us to know about Isaac. Isaac inherited the blessings of Abraham. Because God promised that, you see. But in Genesis chapter 26, there are very many interesting things spoken concerning the character of Isaac. And they're written there for our admonition. In other words, to instruct us in the ways of God. We're told, for example, that he sowed seed and he got 100-fold. Well, remember the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke of the sower going forth to sow. Some fell on the wayside and that was snatched up by the birds of the air, produced nothing. Others fell in stony places. They rose up quickly, but as soon as the sun was up, or as the Lord interpreted it, tribulation came, they gave up. Then there was a third piece of ground, which indeed was filled with thorns. And that choked the good seed. And the interpretation that the Lord gave was this, that the thorns represented the cares and pleasures of this world, and that because of them, those who have received even the instruction from the Word of God tend to give up, and that good seed becomes choked, and it does not produce the glorious fruit of the Spirit and lead us to eternal life. But then there was the fourth piece of ground, and it was called the good ground. But this ground produced three kinds of harvest, if I could say this. 30%, 60%, and 100%. Well, obviously, God is the God of the hundredfold. He wants us to produce 100% in our lives. Some, however, Christians just produce 30, some 60, some 100. And a friend of mine was contemplating that and saying, well, at least somebody produces 30, others 60. You know how God interpreted that? He said, some fail by 70%, some fail by 40%. We don't want to be a failure. We don't want to come short of all that God has purposed for our life. But we want to be those who produce 100%. Well, Isaac was such a man. He sowed, and his land produced 100-fold of good seed, of good crops. And then, in verse 18, we're told that he digged again the wells that Abraham his father had dug. You know, in that land, in the Middle East, water is so important. So therefore, wells are of primordial concern. Wars are fought over wells because water is so precious. Well, Abraham dug a series of wells for his crop. But there were another people in that land, and they were called the Philistines. And they envied, you know, Abraham and his family. And they filled in those wells. The Philistines, do you know who they are? Well, let me tell you this. The Philistines came from Caphtor, which is basically the island of Cyprus. God brought them there, caused them to come. And they came into what is called the Promised Land. Well, the Philistines were forever the enemies of Israel. Today, they're called the Palestinians. And let me just say this concerning the land of Palestine. Do you know where that name originated? Well, in the Word of God, you won't find that name. Because the land is always called land of Canaan before Abraham and his seed came in, and then afterwards it's called the land of Israel, land of Judea in the New Testament. And it wasn't until 135 AD that the Jews rebelled against the Roman emperor, whose name was Hadrian. Hadrian sent his army in and broke that rebellion. And then in a vicious act to indeed punish the Jews, he not only dispersed them, but he renamed the land Palestine, which is a Latinized form of the Philistines. And so the land of Palestine is actually the land named by the Emperor Hadrian, who is a very ungodly man, homosexual and so forth. But he did it in spite against the Jews. Well, so here we see in Genesis 26 and verse 18, the Philistines, or the Palestinians, filled up those wells. And then that was through envy. And then in verse 20, we have another group called Gera, and they strive with the servants of Isaac. They filled up the wells. They contested for the wells that Isaac had redug. So he called the name of them Essek, or strife. And then in verse 21, again there was these battles, and he called the name of the wells for which they were striving now Sitna, or hatred. And there he had to combat envy, strife, and hatred. How did he do it? By fighting them? No, he retired. He let them have it. And in verse 22, God gave him a well for which they fought not, gave them room. And he called that Rehoboth. Now then, He said, now we shall be fruitful. Well, I just want to emphasize that action of Isaac. It's the action of meekness. And you know, the Lord said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Isaac did not strive for the things that were lawfully his, for those wills were his father Abraham's, and therefore he had lawful right to them. But he let those Philistines, you know, fight on against him. But God provided for him something far better, far greater. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke on meekness. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so Isaac portrays in a type the beautiful character of the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who said this, he said, I am meek and lowly. Well, we don't have to fight for our rights. God will meet with us. And then, of course, you see, after that, in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto Isaac, and he confirmed the Abrahamic covenant to him. Blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply you. And you know, this Abrahamic covenant is mentioned again in Hebrews. And God wants us to have the promises of Abraham. In fact, this is what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians. If we belong to Christ, then are we Abraham's seed? We have mentioned so often, Abraham was going to have a seed like the stars in heaven, which is a spiritual seed, and like the sand on the seashore, which is a natural seed. So Abraham, you see, his seed is spiritual, the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is natural, the nation of Israel. And so, if we belong to Christ, we can inherit the promises, the spiritual promises of Abraham. In blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply you. Believe that, because that is what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews. Now then, we come to the old age of Isaac, when his eyes are failing. And it comes a time when Isaac wants to bless his sons. But now we see a problem in the family of Isaac and Rebekah, and it's very tragic. Isaac loved Esau because he was a man of the field, and he loved fleshly things. He loved to eat, like his father Isaac did, of venison. But Rebekah, seemingly, was the more spiritual, and she loved Jacob very much. And here she heard Isaac was going to pronounce a blessing upon the children, upon the boys. And she desperately wanted Jacob, her son, to have the primordial blessing of the firstborn. Well, she went to deception. And she called her son in, and she said, I will quickly make some venison that your father loves. Whilst Esau is going out to hunt for that venison and bring the venison back to Isaac, so Isaac might eat, and then he might bless Esau with the blessing of the firstborn. Well, Jacob, instead of saying, oh mother, I cannot partake of that deception, all he said was, what if I'm found out? He desperately wanted to enter into that deception. Well, it so happened that Rebekah said, oh, the curse be upon me, not on you. The result was that Rebekah clothed Jacob with the goodly garments of his brother Esau, covered his hands and arms with the skins of goat, for Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was, you know, not so, and sent him in to Isaac. Isaac smelt the garments of Esau, he said, and he felt the hands, he said, the hands and the garments. We speak of Esau, but the voice is that of Jacob. He said, art thou really my son, Esau? Well, Jacob lied to his father. And he said, yes, I'm Esau. And then Isaac did eat of the venison, drank of the wine, and then, in a very congenial way, he laid his hands upon Jacob and pronounced the blessing of the firstborn. In fact, the blessing goes along these lines. Let people serve thee. Nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And whosoever curseth thee shall be cursed, whosoever blesseth thee shall be blessed. You know, that is the blessing that God has pronounced on Israel and all those today that help Israel, the nation of Israel, shall be blessed. Those that curse them shall be cursed. And therefore, although Israel is still in unbelief until the Lord returns, it is always important, as the psalmist says, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, out goes Jacob. He gets out just in time, and Esau comes in. And he said, I brought the venison, father. And Isaac, you see, unable to see, trembles and says, but who came in before and gave me venison and wine? And Esau knew immediately that it was his brother Jacob. And he said, he is well known, deceiver, usurper. That's what Jacob means. And so, in a very real sense, Esau cried out in grief and says, but have you not got a blessing for me? Isaac said, he has taken your blessing. And he said, he shall be blessed. But Esau said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And so Isaac does bless him. But look what his blessing is. It's the fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven above. And then he says, by thy sword shalt thou live. By thy sword shalt thou live. Very similar to Ishmael. Ishmael, a wild man. Everyone's hand shall be against thee. And then thou shalt serve thy brethren. But at times his yoke shall be broken from off thy shoulders. Well, there we have it, you see. Now, what is the relevance today? Well, Esau married into the family of Ishmael. So there was a very strong link between Esau and Ishmael. The two men who did not have the true inheritance and the covenant that came from Abraham. Two men that indeed, one Ishmael mocked, Esau, we're told in the prophets, conserved his anger forever against Jacob. What is the relevance for today? And who is Esau? Who is Ishmael? Well, we've already mentioned concerning Ishmael that Muhammad claims descent from Hagar and so forth, and that's where the Muslim religion came from. But what about Esau? Well, Esau is also called Edom. And he was given an inheritance. And if you can imagine the Middle East with the Mediterranean seaboard and coming down the River Jordan, and that's the land of Israel, but coming down further, we come to what is called the Red Sea. Well, now, just to the east of that, we have And a little higher up, we have what is called the land of Edom. Today, there are three nations that basically comprise the kingdom of Jordan. And they are, from the north, Ammon, Moab, and Edom, on the east side of Jordan. Moab and Ammon were the incestuous sons of Lot, and he escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went into his daughters. They produced those sons. And Lot, of course, was a nephew of Abraham. You see, in a certain sense, in the Middle East, they are all linked. You know, we have the term kissing cousins in the United States. Well, they're not kissing cousins, they're warring cousins. And so, there we have it, you see. And we have the picture of the Middle East. Ishmael, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, all surrounding Israel, all less than benevolent against them, hating them, filled with anger, jealous. And in the land, the Philistines were now called the Palestinians. Well, we have some idea of the problems that are confronting us in the Middle East, and in effect will not be resolved until the Lord comes again. But I trust that as we continue the book of Genesis, we shall see some of the glorious promises made to the true seed, Isaac. Don't forget, we are, the church is, the Isaac, or the Israel of God. God bless you.